master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. Let's sing it again to him tonight. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know master of, will you sing that verse?
My boat of life sails on the troubled sea. Never there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend who watches over. Turns into a gale.
Let's sing it to him.
I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain.
He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. Let's sing that second verse. Sometimes I soar like an eagle through the sky. Above the peaks my soul can be found. An unexpected storm has driven from the heights. That's your testimony. Sing to him tonight. I know the master of the wind. So glad I know you, Lord.
I know the maker of the rain.
He has come my storm. May the sun shine again. I know the master. To know him tonight. It's good to be in church tonight. I know we've got a lot of visitors with us tonight. I just seen a familiar face there, Brother Amos Peterson. Good to have you. Been a long time since. That's Brother Ron Peterson's son. Good to have you with us tonight. Just appreciate all the visitors tonight. And we've got several prayer requests we'll take, and I'll ask Brother Terry if he don't mind to come and pray over these. Please have prayer for England and Sarah Ellis, having difficult situations in their marriage. Pray that England will be saved and they both will get back in church. Brother Samuel has a prayer request. He's got an incident with the housing authority coming up Monday. Could possibly lose his home. So let's remember that. Really be praying for Brother Samuel. He wants to let everybody know that he loves them very much and he's sorry if he's been ungrateful, and just wants the church family to know that he really loves you. So we appreciate Brother Samuel. Please pray for Jean Terrell at home, sick with bronchitis symptoms. My sister Rebecca turns in requests for her son, Joey Ballard. He's an addict, very sick with withdrawals. Pray that God will give him strength to get through this and become the man that he used to be. He seems totally broken in body and in spirit. And she asks in prayer for him. And we know that's a very real situation there that gets a hold of people. And we know that God can break those chains for that young man. Let's remember Brother Baker in prayer. With his family, but he also has a testimony he wants to give you. He says, I'm so glad to give the report on Sunday morning in the prayer line. I was prayed for. I have great deliverance in my life. Chains were broken and my life is completely different. My Redeemer truly lives. So we appreciate that testimony tonight. I think that's it for the prayer request. If you could stand tonight as Brother Terry comes, and let's take these needs to the Lord.
So good to be back in church. One more time. So good to be. Let's bow our heads as we pray. You join your faith. God send down His faith, and we believe there'll be much success in the prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to You, how thankful that we have this privilege once again to be in the house of God. We're thankful, dear God, that You sent us a messenger. Lord, before we ask any petition, the prophet taught us to be thankful and tell the Lord how much what He means to us and the things that You've done for us. Lord, it would take a long time to do that, but Lord, just in a moment say, receive our thanksgiving. We thank You that we can come to church. We thank that we have a testimony that we passed from death into life. We're thankful we sent under a ministry that feeds us the Word of God. We're thankful, Lord, because we have a place to come. Lord, in America, we have so many abundant things to be thankful for. But most of all, to know in our hearts that we've passed from death into life, that we're no longer bound by the law of sin and shame, but, Lord, we have received that true present-day truth. The Word has delivered us from a life of sin. We pray for these requests that I hold in my hand. You know, each one, Lord, there's family problems. There's chaos everywhere. The land that we live in, the world that we live in, is becoming more chaotic day by day, and everything is being tested, and everything is being tried. The weather is showing what houses and homes and whatever, it must be on a solid rock to be able to stand, and the devil is testing everything, every kingdom. The only thing that's under the token will stand. Every other kingdom, whether it be family kingdom, it'll be individual kingdom, religious kingdom, every kingdom is being shaken right now. Only thing that will stand is what's been ordained of God. Lord, we're thankful to be associated with the great King that's standing, and You're standing with us. And we're thankful, Lord, that the things we've been hearing about the executorship and all that You have done for us, how thankful. I ask that You would touch each one of these requests. The people represented, the ones that I'm sure that each one has would signify by a raised hand that they have unsaved loved ones, someone outside the ark of safety. Lord, You know where they are, who they are. Lord, and if they're ordained to life somehow, some way, Lord, we can sow the seed and scatter the light, but somewhere they'll come in somehow because they're predestinated to come in. Lord, whosoever will, let us do what we can to bring that last one in that may just find salvation. We pray that You would bless and anoint Brother Donnie to speak tonight, that our hearts would be encouraged, that our lives would be brought closer to You. Give us, tenderize our hearts more to the receive the Holy Spirit, that we could be more susceptible to the Word of God and not have a callous heart like a heart of stone, but truly a heart of flesh that would be very receptive to Your words tonight. Give us grace tonight. Bless the songs, the exhortation, all that's done and said. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise You. We're thankful we can come to church one more time. Grant these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Terry G. You can be seated tonight.
Well, as I kneel in the darkness, in the middle of the night, I'm praying for assurance everything's gonna be alright. Lord, I see another battle, it's out in front of me. I'm afraid I won't able, and I'll go down in defeat. But He said, I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea, I spoke to the wind, it hushed, and I gave You peace. Didn't I run to Your rescue? Didn't I hear You when You called? I walked beside You, just so You wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for Your sin? I searched until I found You, and I'd do it all again. Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. Said, my bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. It says, I move like that before. And I'll do this little thing, and I'll give You so much more. And He said, I walk. Searched until I found you, and I'd do it all again.
Said, do you remember, child, where I brought you from? Take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time you ask me, haven't I delivered you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through?
They said I walked on the water, I calmed the raging sea. I spoke to your wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. So you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
One more time, do you remember?
Oh, do you remember, child, where I brought you from? Take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Gave you peace.
Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Amen. If the brothers would like to come tonight. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the winds in your life that he's hushed? That's pretty degrading when somebody hushes you. You know, that's just don't tell me to shut up. That don't go over well. But I'm so thankful that we've got a Father that when these winds, and your wind and my wind, they're total different things. But the winds that's come up in my life and in your life, I'm so glad that the Lord has just stepped in and said, hush, that's enough. Amen. It's time for some deliverance. I'm thankful for that tonight. I think we are to testify about that tonight. Key of G, I think. Somebody ought to testify.
Oh God, I'm weak. Oh God, I'm weak.
Sister Lindsay Gilry, if you want to come and sing, and then Brother Andrew's going to sing after her, if you want to come on to the platform. Let's sing one more song together. I want to know how it feels. Thinking about Brother Daniel, Brother David there, those testimonies that we'll hear when we get on the other side. That'll be quite a testimony service when we get there. I want to know how that feels. Let's sing that together. G. Well, I want to know how it feels to make my way down the streets of gold. I want to know how it feels to have a talk with the saints of old. I want to know what it's like to rest my feet by the river of life. I've heard of heaven and I know that it's true. Life that I'm living seems peace is something I'll never find. I try to lighten my load. All I've got to show is 700 things on my mind. Well, I'm seeing visions of a crystal clear river where sin's forgotten without a trace. Let's enjoy our singers tonight.
Sometimes I still try to take control. 'Cause I get scared when I can't see the end. But all you want from me is to let go.
It's not home where men sell their souls, and the taste of power is sweet. Where wrong is right and neighbors fight, while the hungry are dying in the streets. Where kids are abused and women are used, and the weak are crushed by the strong. The nation. nation's gone mad, and Jesus is sad, and I don't belong. I don't belong, and I'm going someday home to my own native land. I don't belong, and it seems like I hear the sound of a welcome home band. I don't belong, I'm a foreigner here, just singing a sojourner song. And I've always known that this place ain't home, and I don't belong. But while I'm here, I'll be living like I've nothing to lose. And while I breathe, I'll just believe my Lord is gonna see me through. I'll not be deceived by earth's make-believe. I'll close my ears to her siren song. Oh, by praising His name, and I'm not ashamed, 'cause I don't belong. I don't belong, and I'm going someday home to my own native land. I don't belong, and it seems like I hear the sound of a welcome home band. I don't belong, I'm a foreigner here, just singing a sojourner song. I've always known that this place ain't home, and I don't belong. But I belong to a kingdom of peace, where only love is the law, where children lead and captives are free, and God becomes a baby on the straw. Where dead men live and rich men give their kingdoms to buy back a song. And where sinners like me become royalty and will all belong. Yes, I belong. I've always known that I'm going home, where I
hearts, I've always known that this place ain't home, and I don't belong.
I appreciate those songs tonight, both those very good songs. Let's stand as Brother Donnie gets ready to come. They'd ask to remind everyone of the blood drive on August the 30th from 2 to 7 p.m. They're not getting very many people to sign up, so make the effort to go over there and get signed up for that. Also, Brother Donnie has a new singing CD that's available in the library, so remember that. As Brother Donnie gets ready to come, let's sing this together. Take up your cross and follow Jesus.
Well, take up your cross. Follow Jesus. Take up your cross every day. Don't be ashamed to say that you know Him. Count the cost. Take up your cross. Follow.
Jesus. The church world rejoices in the cross of Christ. The elect rejoice in the cross of Christ and their cross. As a matter of fact, Jesus spoke more about your cross than He did His own. And He mentioned yours before He mentioned His. Praise the Lord. What's the matter? Y'all was going on and going on about singing about it. Amen. Oh my goodness, I'm so grateful that God has a people who are going to take up their cross. Amen. Let's turn tonight to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. Let's look again tonight at the will. We've been speaking about the King being held in the galleries in many aspects. It's in the divine galleries of God. Let's take a walk tonight and look down this gallery and see what we see on this table laying before us. It's a book, or you can call it a scroll, if you will. We will begin to unfold the pages of it and see what's on the inside and see to whom it is given. You see, the great battle that has been fought down through the ages is who gets what in the will. And you take a wealthy family and they go to dying, and boy, they're going to read the will. Families will fuss and fight and fall out and won't even speak to one another and have the awfulest ruckus that ever was over what's inside a will. Don't you understand the same thing's going on spiritually? The church says they're the bride, and the bride says they're the bride, and the foolish virgin ain't sure who they are. People's trying to look around, well, what's ours? Who do we get? What's this, that, and the other? The preachers of this day take elect scriptures and apply them to the church. So they place the entire church under a state of no condemnation. They place the entire church under the state of the blood, which makes them totally sinless. And the bride says, you can't have that scripture. That's mine. And then they say, are you nuts? You can't have that scripture. That belongs to everybody. Well, let's take a tour tonight and just see who some of these things belong to. Are you willing? Now remember, when a will is written, you may not like what it says. You may not even understand why the guy who wrote it the way he did, to allocate this, and this to that one, and that to that one. But once it's already written and done been decreed, we can't change it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, which is the Old Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is a force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So if Jesus, his will was not even written and was of no strength, he could save, heal, raise the dead, cast out devils, turn the world upside down, and it hadn't even come into effect yet. And somebody tell me, what's it going to be when it does? Amen. You believe? Maybe many of you have heard this week that Sister Margie Longoria, Brother Homer's wife, got a bad report from the doctors. The doctors aren't giving her very much hope to be able to live. But what we want to do is take her before the Lord, as many of you have already been doing, of course, and we want to know His will about the situation. Just because doctors don't see no hope don't mean there isn't any hope. Just because doctors say it's too far gone, we've seen our God come on the scene when doctors said it many, many times. So we want to remember her and Brother Homer as well. Heavenly Father, we come before You tonight, Lord Jesus, thanksgiving in our hearts. We're grateful, Lord, for the opportunity to be called Your children. We thank You for Your great mercy that's been extended to us, saving us, Lord, filling us with Your presence, and opening our souls to the Word of God for this day. We ask tonight, Father, that You would take Your Word once again and speak to us. We say it so much, but Lord, we are a needy people. But we want to say also along with that, You are a God who meets the needs of Your people. Lord, we ask You for Your strength and Your grace and Your mercy to Sister Margie. Heavenly Father, we believe that we're brought here on the earth by the will of God. And we don't believe that the devil can take us. As long as we're walking in harmony with the will of God and not being rebellious and stubborn, that sort of thing, the devil cannot take us. A premature grave cannot get us until You are done with us. When You are done, we are finished with life and we want to go home. Lord, You see the doctor's report for Sister Margie this week, but Father, we're asking You for Your grace and mercy. How many that the doctors have given up and they're still alive tonight? How many that the doctor said there's no hope, you might as well get ready to die, and people refused to accept that report because there was another report from Dr. Jesus? So, Father, we're asking You. We know the scriptures pertaining to healing and the divine promises of God. But, Father, what we need is inspiration to strike us. Your prophet said that Job knew that he'd offered the right sacrifice. And he knew that he had done the right thing. But the thing that he lacked was inspiration. And Father, this is what we need so much in our lives whenever we're faced with such an ordeal that we just need. We know you can do it. There is no question in our minds. But we need inspiration to inspire us to believe, Father. Speak to us tonight from your word, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Certainly want to welcome each of the visitors that are with us tonight. Want to just open our hearts to the Lord. How many believe the Lord Jesus has a will? A will and testament, as we say it. It is the divine estate of the Almighty that is left to several categories of people. Some are time beings. Some are creatures of time that actually become an embodiment of a thought that come from God. Yet they come to this earth and they are born lost, as we say. They are born without God in their life. We know the predestinated seed is not passed by sexual birth. So we are born lost, but lost in the sense of the prodigal son. Lost in the sense of the sheep that was lost out of the fold. Lost in the sense of the coin that was lost in the house and found. But remember, it had a pre-minted image on that coin that had come from the mint. So when I say lost for the elect, it's a different type of lost than it is for those who are eternally separated away from the presence of God. Now when the king desired to write his will, it was him in the form of testator in the office of sonship. Now, not another God, not another being, not two lords, but the same one revealing himself in humanity. Because the children were partakers of flesh and blood. So he himself also likewise took part of the same. That he might condescend to the level of humanity to become a faithful and true high priest that could be touched by the feelings of the people's infirmities. Now, the Lord God, of course, before the world was ever formed, knew that there would be people that would never love him. People that would never absolutely have no desire whatsoever to give their hearts to God. He knew there would be people that would be offered that opportunity. They were not part of his genos or of his own kind, but his grace would spill over from the Lamb's Book of Life over into the Book of Life, and he would offer them the opportunity. The Spirit and the Bride say, come, let him that is athirst, let him come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. But if you notice, Jesus, even in the Book of Revelation, that he puts a designation between those two groups, that the Bride and the Spirit have the same ability to say the same thing. So the Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. But then he shows us another group, and he says, then, whosoever will, let them take. Now, they don't say come because they don't have divine nature in them to catch the mind of God to know what God wants done with his word. But they do hear about it and they are offered the opportunity. And what do they do? Then they're willing and they're able, many of them, to come and take of the water of life freely. It still does not mean that they are moved then from that place into the category of the elect of God. Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. The kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins. Five were wise and five were foolish. Now, I want you to notice that before Jesus ever mentions anything about the oil and about them having oil in their vessel or out of their vessel, that he mentions two descriptive terms which identifies the category of these virgins. And one group was wise and one group was foolish. Now, he does not mention that the oil was the reason they were wise or foolish, but their category, whether they were wise or foolish, was mentioned before the condition of the oil. You see, the bride of Christ was already the bride before the foundation of the world. Now, we know in the sense, as far as God is concerned, you always were saved. But in reality, we know that we was not always saved as far as we were concerned.
sinner. So we were lost without God, as we say. We were in a world and we needed to be regenerated. But in God's own mind, Future Home tells us that you were not saved on any certain day, but you always were saved. But that's in God's thinking. Because we well can remember the life that we lived when we were not a saved people. Is that right? And we still, as much as we dislike it, have lodged in our human memory things that we did when we were not saved. But as far as God is concerned, we always were His. Even when we are forgiven, we will remember many of those things that we've done. But what's important is He doesn't remember it. Now, in these categories will be the ecclesia, called the elect of God. She's called by many names. She's called the foreordained. She's called the chosen. She's called the called. She's called the predestinated. She's called many things. And 1 John, she's called the elect lady. And the 3 John also. So we know that she's given many different characteristics. And each of those traits are an attribute of her Lord that is given to her by His divine mercy. See, it is up to the testator to be able to write in his will and call people whatever he wants. So if he places in the will certain family members, and if he wants to add people which are not family, that is his prerogative and right. If he wants to add people to the will who are not even known by family members at all, he can do exactly that. And as we've already looked at it, the Lord Jesus had no successor that would come and become the executor of this New Testament. So he succeeded himself. So the testator must die in order for the testament to become effective. So the testator dies in the form of testatorship. Then he raises from the dead, but he raises not in the form of testator, but he raises in the form of executor. Then the executor begins to anoint the apostles, and they begin to preach. Now, they begin to preach to the different categories. Now, in the upper room, we see the elect of God. Now, they're up there waiting, praying. The predestinate seed, the prophet said, they haul themselves up there. And there they were, the predestinated seed of God, like the earth, when the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And them seeds was laying there from some former civilization. So here, here the seed of God haul themselves up into the upper room, a seed laying there from some other civilization. But that seed still has to be quickened. Now remember, there's two parts of any deed that was reflected in the Old Testament. And that is the open part and the sealed part. Now they're exactly identical, but one is held in mystery in a human vessel. And the other one was the open, which was an exact copy of the original, but it was held open for religious or legal purposes. Now they come up into the upper room and they are who? They're not the whosoever will group, but they are the elect of God. Now the Holy Ghost falls on them, pillar of fire divides himself, they go out among the people, the streets, and they begin to think, well, these people are drunk. And he said, no, they're not drunk, but this is prophesied by Joel. So he begins to identify themselves in the Old Testament will. So the anointing of the executor is now speaking on the executor's helpers. Now this will is so big and so large that the executor himself chose to anoint men that would be anointed with his own presence. And what they would do is go out into the land and they would disperse the knowledge of this will according to the mind of God. Now many of them would come from a denominational background and their senses and their perception of the will would be totally wrong. But once they would get a word burst, it would clarify the understanding of the will. Then they're really fit to preach the gospel. It's evident that a lot of folks, the preachers in this message, really ain't fit to preach it yet, because they're sure preaching election with a Baptist idea, or they're preaching the Holy Ghost with a Baptist idea, or preaching the Godhead with a Trinitarian idea. They shouldn't even be in a message pulpit. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. A man ain't got no right to be in here till he's washed of those things and pulled away from that pollution of those prostitutes. Don't get quiet, church. Say amen. Now, whenever God then decided to disperse the knowing of the knowledge of the will. Then he calls men and distributes their understanding in a five-way disposal of gifts, office gifts. And of course, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. The diversity of those gifts is sent because of the diverse attributes of God. Each gift will take that same will, and God will anoint that gift, and it will diversify the understanding of the gift. So one man will look at it in an evangelistic office, and he'll bring it in one way. A pastor will bring it another way. A teacher another way, and so on. And but what the whole purpose is about is to identify and call the separate groups to their full inheritance that can be able to be received in life, and lead them to the overwhelming inheritance that will be received after this life is over. Now, in that is the elect of God. They were God's attributes before the foundation of the world. They come to the earth when the book of life was lost by Adam. Now, Adam would have originally spoke each of us into existence by the word of God. As a matter of fact, the prophet tells us Isaiah should have come through the womb of Eve. Christ should have come through the womb of Eve. But once Eve then forfeited her rights to give birth to the word children by giving birth to serpent seed, then God would no longer use her womb for spoken word birth. So the Lamb's book of life then was forfeited. The title deed to the earth and all of its possession went back into the hand of him that sat upon the throne. Then the devil became a squatter without a title. Now the devil, you know, he doesn't own the earth as far as legal possession. He has no documents whatsoever that he can prove that he owns the earth. But he is a squatter, and he tricked the first owner of the earth, the human owner of the earth, to relinquishing his property rights and ownership. And by taking that over, then Satan has become the god of this age and the prince of the power of the air. Now, by doing that, he knows he has a squatter's right until the full redemption price is paid. Y'all follow me? Now, once that price is totally paid, then the squatter's rights are totally terminated, and he will kick him out, and he'll come and claim his bride, and then we'll take over the earth again. But until that does, he has a right to be able to come on the earth and cause all this havoc and chaos that we've seen for thousands of years. But in that, the program of God rolls right on. You see, the program of God has not been interrupted. As a matter of fact, it came down through the dispensation of time that would actually display attributes that was in God that was never seen in the form of creation. Now, we look at him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then we know that in that says volumes, because it could have been millions of years and universes and planets and who knows how long it was. But we see when Adam fell that it brought something out of God's divine nature that the creation of the universe never brought out. We don't see the Creator running in the Garden of Eden because he created a moon or a sun or the earth. We don't see these attributes of Adam's fall being brought out in the creatures and the creature's nature until Adam fell. Then when Adam fell, what do we find out of the Creator? We find Adam's need bringing an attribute out of the Creator himself that creating the universe never brought out. So what do we find? We find the Creator running through the Garden of Eden screaming, "Adam, Adam, Adam, where are you?" So in time when man fell, there was attributes that God would allow to be brought out of himself during the fall that would have never been displayed if you and I would have been spoke into existence. Now you see, there's nothing out of cater. It's us thinking so. Oh my. So what will he do? He will make it as it drops down this little block of time as it comes from the circle of eternity. And the prophet called it a block of time. So it falls down in this little block of time. And as it does, there will be attributes of Elohim that will be manifested that would have never been fully revealed in the circle of eternity. Now he could have told us in eternity, "Children, I'm a savior. And if it had been anybody sick, I could have healed them. And if it had ever been anybody lost, I could have saved them." But of course, y'all were spoken into existence. But you know what? When we get there and the block of time is pulled back up into the circle, it won't be him telling us. It will be us telling him. "Papa God, I was lost and you saved me. I was sick and you healed me. I was a miserable wretch. And Lord God, you redeemed me." So it will be us testifying. Where did we get this at? As it fell down in this this block of time. So even though, hallelujah, even though it's brought so much pain and heartache and sickness, yet God in the block of time will finally annihilate sin. Now we don't know how long that sin has actually been into existence, because you know sin actually originated in heaven, and that was in the heart of Lucifer. Then of course it was not Satan or the devil, but he was Lucifer, which is light bringer. And in there it began with his desire to be above God, bigger than God. Mom, when you see preachers or people that want to be bigger than this man or that man, just realize that's not the attribute of the Holy Ghost. The attribute of the Holy Ghost tells us to humble ourselves, not exalt ourselves. Now, God will, of course, deal with sin, and it will absolutely be annihilated. Now, what's this how that God orchestrates his great plan? In the category of the will be the elect. There's also another category that we call the whosoever will group. There's also the 144,000 which will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the tribulation period. And then we look in the kingdom day on the eighth day, and we look outside the city, and we see the nation of the earth that will dwell there. What will it be? It will be human beings that will come up, some of them during the millennium, the heathen that never had the opportunity to hear the gospel. God kept many heathens down through the ages and they never heard it. Under the millennium reign of the Son of David, they will make their choice. Also those who, you know, they heard the truth and they couldn't see it, they couldn't understand it, and yet they never blasphemed it. They will come up also on the second resurrection, and the rest of the dead live not for a 1,000 years. Now in this, all of those categories will stand before God and they will be judged. They will come into the tribunal of the Almighty God. Then according to the justice of God, each of them will be rendered according to the deeds and their face and their treatment of the brethren. And then God will allocate to those who never had eternal life, that was not truly born again, yet they believed they were, they loved God, they went to church, and they were a nominal Christian, but yet they never had anything evil to say against the word, and they stood for the people of God in the time of trouble. They will be allowed to go into eternal life. Eternal life is not theirs now. It is not their possession like it is the bride. If you have the Holy Ghost tonight in your soul, you already have eternal life. You're not going into eternal life. Eternal life come into you. You see, but for those who are non-elect, they are going into something that has never entered to them. Are they forgiven? They are. Are they saved? They are. Have they received the very nature of the sacrificial lamb themselves? They cannot. How can one person that the blood speaks for ever go through tribulation period? But they think they're under the blood. Well, you know, Brother Wayne, I think, displayed it so beautifully that the reason many of these people being held in these prisons, it's because preachers which are in prison are telling them they're free. When you know, another prisoner in the prison don't have the authority to free you. So a preacher that's bound up himself, how can he preach to you a liberating message? Now, watch this. I love this in proving his word. Notice it was by his believers that he proves his word by. Now, listen to this. It was by his believers that he proves his word by. Now, look at the title of this sermon, Proving His Word. He can only prove his word not by unbelievers. It's only by the believers that he can prove his word. This is one of the reasons we are here. We are here to prove his word. And he'll not use angels to prove his word. He'll not use the universe to prove his word. He will use you and you and you and elect people around the world. But now listen how this plan works. No matter how much the rest of them claim to be, oh, I believe, brother, see if you do. God will prove it so. Because we look and see the others, how they can say them. See, that's by true believers. It's what he proves his word. Not by those who say they believe, but those who really believe. It's by his believing children that he proves his word. Now, it's not by foolish virgins that he proves that he is the kinsman redeemer or the Goel, because he is not kin to the foolish virgin. He is not kin to many of the different groups and categories, but it is by believers that he's able to prove that he was kin to us because we were kin to him. It is by believers that he proves the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not just gifts, not just emotion and anointing and shouting and all that, but who does he prove it by? True believers. It will be by true believers that he proves the rapture. It will be by true believers that he proves the resurrection. It is by true believers that he proves Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10. It's not by folks leaving the message. It's not by unbelievers. It is by you. Amen. Your very life proves this message is different than the message of Laodicea. The life you live being separated from God proves that this message is sent from God. It calls us into a place of divine separation. Notice he had the believers, the old crop died off. The unbelievers who said we couldn't take it. I was talking about the children of Israel in the days of Joshua said we couldn't go over it. He let every one of them perish. Why? Every one of them but the believers who was left. Moses had been taken to glory and the unbelievers had perished in the wilderness. And this was their children. There were only two that crossed over, and that was the believers, Joshua and Caleb. They was the believers, they was the one who crossed over. It's the only way God can do it. It's by his believing children. You see, he cannot prove many of these things in the will by the 144,000. He will never prove a rapture, a Gentile rapture by the 144,000. He cannot prove a Gentile rapture by the foolish virgin. He cannot prove a Gentile rapture by the whosoever will group. They will not go in. He cannot prove. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He cannot prove that by the foolish virgins, but he can prove it by believers. So he ordains believers to prove his word by. You're not just here to make a living. You're not just here to have a nice home and a nice car. You're here to prove his word. You're here to prove his word. It's the only way God can do it is by his believing children. You believe that. All right, he said. His believers was the one that he done it. He used them to cross over with. My, he used them to cross over with. He's going to use you to cross over with. I love this next paragraph. Listen to this. I want you to notice he does it that way in every age. He does it every time by the same method. He has to take believers. Then in order to have believers to meet that word, he's got to predestinate it to that age. You see it? He's got to predestinate this thing to be there to meet the challenge of the age. Now listen to the question he asks you. Did you get it? Did you feel it? Did you see it? Do you understand it? Do you see it? Did you feel it? Well, praise the Lord. Why? It ain't no good if Brother Branham don't get it over to believers. This is the way it's going to be fulfilled. This is the way God does it, by believers. Notice he says he's got to predestinate this thing to be there to meet the challenge. So what good would the message of Malachi 4 be if there was not already a predestinated people on the earth to accept the challenge of that message? If there's nobody here, it does no good. If there's nobody in the lawyer's office when they read the will, there's no need in reading it. Well, we're here tonight in the lawyer's office and the Holy Ghost is reading the will. Anybody interested in what's yours? Well, glory. How's he going to prove it? By believers. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice he said, then he predestinated in Malachi 4, it's got to happen. When he come over and predestinates anything to happen in his word, he had to prove his word to be so. When he predestinates anything to happen and says it will happen, he knows that seed will be there at that time. You are the reciprocating part of this message, and it will be proved through you. Let people laugh, let them make fun, let them ridicule, let them do whatever they want to do, and then the last laugh we'll be doing it though, is we're flying out of this world with our body being changed. Because he will prove the rapture by us. Thank God. Notice, when he predestinates anything to happen and says it'll happen, he knows the seed will be there. So you and I are that part that connects with this message. He predestinated a bride. She's going to be there. Going to be a rapture. She's going to be there. He predestinates it by his foreknowledge, and nothing. Hear me, devil? Nothing is going to stop it. Now, the executor would like to open the book of mystery. And he would like to read to you some of your inheritance. Now, some of this will be shared across the board, as we'd say. So the elect, the foolish virgins, whosoever will, the 144,000, some of these things, all groups and categories share alike. But some things are only for the family. The rapture is for the family. Remember I told y'all sometime back when I invited my family to come over for a barbecue? We've had a couple of those since I made that invitation. One was pork shoulder. Another was catfish with hush puppies. Oh, man, I'm stopping right now. Let's go eat. The last one we had was tacos, fish tacos. You talking about good. Don't y'all wish you could have been there? But Jim Babb said some of the best catfish when he had that he had ever eaten in his life. And he's eaten a lot of them because he likes them. But why was he there? His son married my daughter. Now, Brother Jim is not part of my family by blood, by skin. But what bought him that catfish dinner was marriage. Hallelujah! Glory! Oh my. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. One of the things that is given to you in the will is the forgiveness of sins. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. According to the riches of his grace. Now this is in his will, the New Testament will. Forgiveness of sins, and it's based upon our Father is so rich in grace and mercy that he has whatever needs to be to back up this estate claim, he has the riches. Now listen, to forgive every mortal. If every mortal on the face of the earth tonight asked for forgiveness of their sins, he could forgive them all in a millisecond. Billions and billions of sins could be forgiven in one millisecond. And he'd have just as much forgiveness after that as he had before. Amen. I love the meaning of this word. Now, I want to read you some of these meanings so you get a full understanding. Look at it with me, what it means. Deliverance, liberty, releasing from bondage or imprisonment. Pardon of sins. Letting them go as if they had never been committed. Now, can God forgive? forgive a foolish virgin that way? Sure. Can God forgive the Jews, 144,000, that will come after the Gentile bride is gone? Yes. He will so forgive them. You see, when a sinner comes to God and then they have drunk and ran around and lied and done whatever more. But if they are really, really sincere, the prophet explains it to us in Future Hope that it actually chops off those past sins. It chops them off. It has nothing to do now, he says, with future sins. And it does not mean that the nature that caused them to sin has been annihilated, but it simply chops off their back sins. Can foolish virgin be forgiven? Amen. Yeah, they can be. And they are. Oh, glory. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Colossians 2:13. And you being dead in your sins and under circumcision of your flesh, He has quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. How does it feel tonight to be forgiven of everything? Glory to God. Feels wonderful, don't it? Totally forgive Him. Amen. Listen to this in Christ the mystery. As a drop of ink dropping into a tub full of bleach, you'll never find that stain of ink no more. It went somewhere. It never came back again. And when a man is truly redeemed, listen, truly redeemed, that predestinated seed that sees it and accepts it, his sins are demolished. Praise the Lord. Now, all groups, all of these folks in the will can receive forgiveness. Another thing, complete deliverance from legal consequences of sin. Romans 7:6. But now are we delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. The law condemned us. Well, we're set free from that law. Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His own cross. Praise God, every legal claim has been, oh my, demolished against the elect. My, thank God. Let's look at another one now. No condemnation. St. John 3:18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. St. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my logos, my word, look at this word, heareth, to be endowed with the faculty of hearing, to understand, listen, perceive the sense of what is said. So it's not just hearing the words. It's not just repeating the words. But you have an ability to perceive the sense that the words were said in. You see, it's a spiritual sensory perception that only the elect can be able to be identified with. Others will hear it intellectually. They'll hear it whether it's Greek or Hebrew or Aramaic or whatever more. And they'll research all the words and try to figure it all out, because they don't have the ability to understand from the soul. They understand from the intellect. Then if they don't understand it, well, it has to be wrong. It has to be false. But a person who has this ability understands from the soul. Why? The will gives a certain class the ability to understand. The disciples asked Jesus one day, why is it that you speak to the people out here in parables? He said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of God. Unto them I speak to them in parables. So you mean some would have the ability to perceive. God did that. God did that. It's in the will. Now watch. Hear us. to perceive the sense of what is said, to give ear to a teaching or a teacher, to comprehend, to understand, to suffer it, to make its proper impression on the mind, to obey. But foolish virgin preachers, whosoever will preachers, they'll take this quote and the scripture from the Lord Jesus. And verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Do you believe God sent his son in the world to die for you on the cross? I believe it. Then you've got eternal life. That ain't what he said. Now, what is it? A man out of the wrong category, trying to take a categorical scripture which belonged to the ecclesia of God and whitewashing it and bending it down and modifying what Jesus said. It's not really that. Well, I heard it. I heard, bless God. I listen to the prophet every day. You could hear him every day and still not hear him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You see, if you actually hear it, it will affect your behavior. And it will change your behavior. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me hath. Notice the way Jesus says this. He never said he received it. Oh my Lord. He never said that when he believed on him that he received eternal life. But it's a sign that he already had it. I thought somebody would be shouting about right now. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath. Not going to get it and didn't get it when he believed. He's endowed with this ability to hear, even hear the sense of the way that it's spoken. Now watch this category. And shall not come into condemnation. Now this is everybody. You and I are wasting our time by preaching a separated message. There's no need for us to preach holiness. There's no need for us to preach the doctrines of the message. If everybody out here that says they believe Jesus is the Son of God and this applies everybody straight across the board, everybody, we have wasted years of our lives. But we know we haven't. Now notice, but there is a group that will never face condemnation. Or judgment. You see, a word with us may or may not mean anything. We're so foolish with our words and say so many words that don't mean anything. And then we change them later, you know, later on. Well, I should have said this and shit. But God's words aren't like that. One word of God can mean such a difference in our understanding. Now watch. He that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come. Now, a person who just accepts the Lord Jesus can fall away from that, die lost, and perish. But these people that had this ability to hear the sense of the word will never fall away. They can't. He says they shall not come into condemnation. Now watch, hear, he that heareth my word. The term is allow my thought. Allow my thought. Let me read the meaning to you. To penetrate his nature. He allows my thought to penetrate his nature. And he hears it from the nature. Not just from here. He has eternal life. Now look at this. Jesus says those who do that shall not come into condemnation, which is krisis. The Greek word krisis. Judgment. Accusation. Opinion or decision giving concerning anything, especially concerning justice and injustice, right or wrong. Whoever believes on Jesus, as the scripture says, hath eternal life and will never stand before the white throne.
Amen.
Well, how does the scripture apply to the foolish virgin? And then we see the foolish virgin standing before the white throne.
Come on now.
You see what preachers have done? They took part of our inheritance And said, well, this is for everybody. Whatever. You whatever you want to do. Everybody's got eternal life. Why, we're all the same. There's no difference in bride and church. There ain't no difference in bride and church. That's not for you to say. You wasn't the writer of the will. That's for the testator to say. Praise the Lord. Oh, my. No condemnation. Why? Now, Paul explains why. Or Jesus, rather, than the condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Why? The reason of this is because the death of the Lord Jesus so atones for those that have eternal life. The very cause of condemnation has been eliminated from their soul. Who was the sin against? It was not against the devil. I did not sin against the earth. I sinned against God. So if God says I'm free, I'm free. I didn't sin against you. You didn't sin against me so much. Who did I sin against? I sinned against God. If God by declaration says I am free, I am free. It makes no difference what the devil says. It makes no difference what people say. If he says there is no condemnation, there's no condemnation. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation. Amen. Now listen who this is to. Right. To them which are not believing on. Whosoever believeth on the Son of God, or believeth he is the Son of God. That's not the category. Watch the words now. One word can change its entire meaning. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Who are this group? The elect, foreknown of God before the foundation of the world. You see, the in Christ Jesus are not just professors. Well, I believe every word the prophet said. That's only repeating a bunch of words. If you don't live what he said, you don't believe what he said. If you don't live a godly life separate from the things of the world, I don't care. You can listen to 5,000 tapes a month. You're still lost without God if you ain't got the Holy Ghost. You got to be born again. It's not just hearing that voice. It's living what the voice said do. Those that are in Christ Jesus. So there is a category that will escape the white throne judgment. They actually are not even judged. A category of human beings that were born in sin and done wrong and live maybe years of their life, and they will escape the white throne? How is that possible? It's in their will. The testator inspired it. The executor carried it out. And he wanted me to tell you. Woo! Which are in Christ Jesus, being loved by him with an everlasting love. Being declared righteous. Oh my. Amen. Being called his wife. His elect. Come on, children. His predestinated. Notice, I love the way Paul brings it on down in verse 33. Boy, all this message, folks, he'd choke them to death. Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall lay anything? This is a legal term that Paul borrowed from the courts of law of that day. He is standing up there. He's making a declaration. I want somebody in heaven. I want somebody in the earth. I want somebody under the earth. I want somebody down in hell to tell me who, not what, but who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. Amen. This can't be said about everybody. This can't be said about the foolish virgin. But it can be said about family members. Oh my. Who? Who? I ask of you tonight. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And then he answers on what basis he can make this bold charge. It is God that justifies. mistake? What failure? Oh, man, believe it, brother, sister. When you do wrong and you make mistakes, you'll pay for those things. Sure, you will. But it ain't got nothing to do with your soul being lost. If you're a son or daughter of God, you'll get corrected by the Word. If you don't get corrected, He'll take you out of the earth. Praise the Lord. If you're a son or daughter of God, you were born for the Word to be proved by you in this age. And it will be proved. Neither demons, nor powers, nor shortcomings, nor hell, nor heaven, nor Hillary, nor Trump, nor sickness, nor nothing else. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Let the Supreme Court pass what laws they want to pass. Let the police do what they want to do. Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth, not us. So, Brother Donnie, that means I can do what I want to do? Certainly. I drink as many beers as I want. I have as many girlfriends as I want. Commit adultery as many times as I want. Rob banks as many times as I want. Come on now, you know the answer to all this. I don't want none. I don't want no beers. I don't want no girlfriends. I don't want to rob banks. Hallelujah. Why? I have believed on Him. Hallelujah. I have believed on Him. And I have let it affect my behavior. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. If you've got any Tylenol PM, you might ought to quadruple dose about right now. Either that or get on out of here. Listen to the meaning of this word. I love this. Justifieth. Be freed. Be righteous. To render righteous, or such he ought to be, to show, exhibit, evince one to be righteous, such as he is and wishes himself to be considered. To declare, pronounce one to be just, Lord God, children, to declare or pronounce. What is it pronounced? In the will. Amen. It was pronounced in the will that the bride is free. Yes. It was declared by the testator changing offices, becoming the executor, and said there is no sin laid against her. When she does wrong, she'll repent. She'll make it right. Why? The charge will carry it out in her life. Or you say, I'm elect and I sin and I do it all the time, every day. There's something wrong with your calling, pal. The charge from the Almighty God. And you are the reciprocating part of that charge. That charge will make you repent. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's God that justifies the elect's position. How can He do that? Because we sinned against Him. So the propitiation was met in the person of the Lord Jesus, and He declares us free. We are free. By pronouncing us righteous. The imputation that David spoke of in Psalms. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin to. Yes, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for the seed of God is in him, and therefore he cannot sin. Well, I can tell y'all ain't Baptists. If there's a bunch of Baptist folks in here, they'd be passing out in the spirit and swooning and everything. In Romans 8:30. Moreover, whom he did bleep, then he also bleep, and whom he bleep bleeped, then he also bleep bleeped. So I guess we're the bleeped people. I know predestination offends folks, and I don't care if it does. I'm going to read it anyhow. If it makes you mad, you need to get saved. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified them, he also glorified. That's part of your will. You ought to be praising God for it. That's part of your will. That ain't to everybody. If that's to you, you ought to be so grateful tonight. As you sat here in the lawyer's office and hear your portion of the deed read. Oh my. I love this invisible union. I know I've read this to you many times, and if I get to preach many more years, I'm going to read it many more. Now your name is in the new book, not the book of life, but the Lamb's book of life. What the Lamb redeemed, not the old book of your natural union, but your new bride. Hallelujah. Your life is in the Lamb's book of life. Your marriage certificate, hallelujah, where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. Where your true eternal germ from the beginning takes hold. Well, did mama put it in me? Did daddy put it in me? God put it in you. Glory. Now we're not only forgiven, but you're justified. He said, glory, justified. Romans 5:1, yeah. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith. Look up the word. The word don't mean forgiven. The word means justified. It don't mean you're forgiven. For instance, you heard I got drunk and done some evil things and everything. And then you come around and say to me, you find out I didn't do them. Then you come around and say, Brother Branham, I forgive you. Forgive me. I didn't do it at the first place. Now, if I did it, I'm guilty, but you could forgive me, and I wouldn't be guilty, but I'm not justified because I actually done it. But the word justified is though you never done it. Amen. It's not even regarded at all. How is it done? In God's book of the sea of forgetfulness. Lord have mercy. Your old book and marriage is divorced and dead. Amen. It's not even in the memories of God. Amen. You are justified. Therefore, being justified, it was accused. You was accused, but you never done it in the first place. It was that gene of yours. It never done it. This did. This lied. This done whatever more. But that gene inside of you never done it in the first place. It was accused, but oh my, you wasn't even married to that devil. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh my. The bridegroom, listen to this, you wasn't married to begin with. He, the bridegroom, bore your shame himself for you in your place. He took your place for you. Were predestinated for him to be in his bride before the foundation of the world. The Bible said so. You are the predestinated. You are the predestinated. Brother Donnie, I don't believe it that way. I believe Christ was. You need to reread the message and the scripture a little more. You'll find out spoken words, original seed. The prophet of God tells you, you are a predestinated seed just like Christ was. Amen. How did you come to this? You were deceived and took by your first marriage to your adulterous parent Eve. It's no fault of your own by your natural birth. You come after Eve who committed adultery. That's the reason you was born an adulteress. Were we born lost? Sure we were. Were we sinners? Were we wretched, miserable? Answer me, were we? But the seed wasn't. God, rich in mercy, Phoenix, 1965. Many of you can fellowship with me on this thought. There was something in you when you was a little boy or a little girl that thirsted after God. He said, seemed like other kids could get by with this and that and the other, but there was something in you then that you would come to sooner or later. It was in you then. You mean you didn't even make a choice? You mean you never even asked God to do it? I ask you. Whenever the Abraham was called, who called first, God or Abraham? Who called who? Did God call Abraham or Abraham call God? Read your Bible. You see, the reason folks don't understand election in the New Testament, they don't understand in the Old. This is the reason Peter, James, John, Paul, and them had no problem understanding predestination and election and calling. Because they come from a Jewish background, which God chose a people out of all the rest of the earth. They were a chosen people. Come on. Abraham was a man. There was no special man about him. But the prophet of God said God chose him and he didn't even want it. Well, glory, that'll choke some of you Armenians, and I'm going to give you another. He says in the Hebrew series, he saved you when you wasn't even looking for it. You didn't even want it. You didn't even have a desire for it. Bless God, I'll tell you one thing. Hallelujah. I've done this. Well, maybe that's your part in the will, brother. My part in the will is how big my God is, not how great my choice is. That's just the way I read the will. How did you come? You were deceived into it. Oh my, it's no fault of your own by your natural birth. You come out to Eve who committed adultery. That's the reason you was born an adulteress. You're a sinner. You're not saved, born saved. You're not born filled with the Holy Ghost. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. That's right. You was deceived into it. But it ain't your fault. Don't you love those Bob Jones terms? It ain't your fault. You never did it. And this is the reason. Because that little germ that was in you was to be you before the foundation of the world. God put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. God didn't just predestinate a group and didn't know who they were. That ain't what my Bible says. My name wasn't wrote down. Well, the Happy Valley group and the William Branham group and the Luther group. My name was wrote there. I'm not a group. I'm not a number. I'm a person. And I got a name. And my name was on the Book of Life. Glory. Notice this. You are the pure, virtuous, sinless. Listen, friends. I'm reading to you from a spokesman who was so under the influence of the executor that many of the people who was around him thought he was the executor. Now, when your family and your wife and your kids and the people you work with go to mistaking you for Jesus, then I might listen to you. But until they do, I'm going to read his quotes and not yours. So if you want to impress me, heal like Jesus, walk like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and let your wife and kids think of Jesus, most of us don't have that problem, do we? They might think you're an angel, all right, but one of them kinds of rides motorcycles, you know. Them. Now watch, you are the pure, virtuous. Is anybody here want this? Is any? Am I talking to anybody here besides me? You are the pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of the living God. Every man and woman that's born of the Spirit of God and washed in the blood of Jesus. Listen to all these stipulations now of the will. Listen to the stipulations of the will. Born of the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and believes every word of God. Stands as though you never sinned at the first place. You are perfect. How can that be, Brother Donnie? Because the executor said we were. It is his decree. But all our mistakes are shortcomings, which means nothing to the decree of the executor. Oh, my, can you imagine some guy gets this phone call or some certified letter in the mail? Yes, sir. Your Uncle Remus passed away and your name is in the will. I mean, it takes 2 months for him to chase this guy down. He's homeless, living on the side of the road, and he gets mail occasionally over his sister's house. I mean, he stinks. Don't get a bath very often. Goes around through the garbage can and picks out pieces of hamburger and fries that people toss. But all of a sudden, his sister finds him and said, this letter come for you. I had to sign for it. Must be really important. So he said, I can't read. Would you read it for me? You see, when some of you that think you know so much would ever come to a spot that you'd begin to tell the man of God, look, man of God, I believe God anointed you to help me understand this real. Would you read it to me? Sure, listen to the message. Listen to me. Read your scripture. Absolutely. But know when you get it done. If you're not a preacher, you're not gifted to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. How can they hear without a preacher? Come on, don't get quiet. That's what the will says. and his sister opens it up. Oh my, Uncle Remus has died. Oh my goodness, and they want you to come up. Oh, I don't have nothing. I've only got this one change of clothes. Well, you come on over to my house and I'll wash them up for you. My, here he goes in and sit down there, sets them up, Dykes. There's cousin, you know, so-and-so, and there's so-and-so. Man, I know I'm going to get the whole thing. I'm going to move over to Hollywood. I'm going to get me one of them BMWs and Mercedes Benz. I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to be the richest cat in town. And walks this old boy and he sits there and he feels ashamed and embarrassed. And the executor begins to take the will. Last will and testament of Remus Ray Smith to my nephew so-and-so. I give 3 goats, 2 chickens, and 1 horse. That was the Updike that was moving to Hollywood. Now he's settling for Dollywood. To this one, I get this, and this one over here is gone. I know they didn't buy it. I'll be the one get it. And here's this poor homeless, sick, puny, low-down, rotten fellow. When the executor reads it, he said, I give 75% or whatever more of my inheritance to so-and-so. And he sits there, and here's this. Me? How could I? I'm not worthy of it. Of course you're not. But if the will says it's yours, are you going to take it or not? If the will says you're sinless, pure, undefiled, and never sinned in the first place, are you going to argue with the executor or the lawyer reading it to you? Are you going to shout, glory to God, it's mine. It's mine. That's me, mama. That's me. My name was called in the will. I don't understand it. I didn't know he loved me that much. I understand. That's the way we are. We grapple with trying to comprehend, how could he love me that much? He loved you with an everlasting love before the foundation of the world. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Listen as the executor reads. You are the pure, virtuous, sinless bride of the Son of living God. Every man and woman that's born of the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, believes every word, stands as though you never sinned at the first place. Amen. Let's stand. You are perfect. The blood of Jesus Christ. In the rapture message, in the sight of God, the bride is justified. She had never done it in the first place. My, what a place to say this. In the rapture. Standing there married to the virtuous Son of God. Never sinned in the first place. Why? She was foreordained. She was trapped into this. That when she heard the truth and come forth, the blood cleansed her. And she stands here virtuous. See? No sin on her at all. My friends, this is not the justification that Luther preached. This is justification according to Elijah. If Luther's justification caused an uproar, you can imagine Elijah's justification. No wonder it causes such an uproar. Let me close with the scripture, Romans 8:34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen. Watch the same thought now. He brings it right on down again. Who is he condemning? The elect. Who, Paul says, can condemn the elect? But the foolish virgin, you'll condemn. The foolish virgin, God will condemn. The devil can condemn. The visions condemn. The message condemns. The scripture condemns. Scripture tells them not to cut their hair, and they do it anyhow. It condemns them. The message condemns them. You condemn them as the Word made flesh. But who can condemn her? Nobody. Unless, of course, you're bigger than God. Nobody raise their hands. Smart. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea! Rather that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God. Who also maketh intercession for us. In his sight, I am holy. In his sight, I am true. It's the mystery of redemption that's included me and you. I don't fully understand it, but I believe it's true. How the precious blood of Jesus has recreated me. Brand new. In your sight, I've got faults and mistakes. In my sight, you will. In each other's sight. But you see, one of the great challenges is us being able to look through his eyes and to try to see what he sees. It's in your will. So what does the church people do? What does it mean these churches tomorrow? They will hear a portion of what you've heard tonight. They will hear some of the scriptures. How justified they are. How they have eternal life. And how God can never condemn them. But they're taking your part of the wheel and trying to read it to the wrong class of people. And then your enemy will try to take their part of the wheel and tell you that's who you are. You're going to be condemned. You're judged. After all, you've got a J in your letter and your name, which means Judas. Or if you've got a P in your name, it means Pharaoh. If you're a real believer, I'll say to the roots, I'll say it again. If the Bible says in the last days there'd be a boy be born, July the 9th, 1956, he'd be given the name Donald Lee Reagan Jr. He'll be a sorry, evil person. And every time I'd pick up my Bible and read that, if I'm a seed of God, I'd read that and I'd say, my goodness, there's two of us on the earth. Man, born on the same day. What if the Word of God called your human name? Some of you would never come back. You'd throw up your hands and quit. You'd never try another day. Shame on you. If you are the reciprocating part of that will, even if your name, your birthday, your mom and daddy's name is wrote in there, if God's calling you, God would never call you to a lie. Praise the Lord. It ought to be so revealed to us, as the prophet says in the seals, if there's only one going out of Happy Valley, y'all better move, I'm telling you, because it's going to be me. Praise the Lord. Why? Because my will has included me. I'm virtuous. I'm sinless. I'm bride. I'm pure. I'm holy. I'm called. And before God, I'm going to be gone. Why? My will allocates to me. This is who I am. You love him. Now this is where it all winds up. Each of you have to find your spot in the will. If you're that whosoever will group, if I was that group, and that's as far as I could believe, I'll be shouting right through the streets of gold. I'll come in new moon, Sabbath to Sabbath, go right back out and live. I'll be just as happy as I can be. There ain't going to be no sad sections in heaven. Even the folks who live outside the city ain't going to live in Depressville. Ain't nobody going to be sad. Ain't nobody going to be... You know what? They're going to be so glad that they've got eternal life because they realize they're not even his children. They're not even his own kind. And he allowed them to come in. And he will allow them to come into the bride city. Amen! He will allow them to come in from time to time to the bride city and see where you live. Y'all ever get in your car and drive in some of these fancy subdivisions around here in Johnson City? You drive past and say, whoa, man alive.
wonder what he does. Go up through the ridges and drive around to that and say, wow. I've been in Atlanta and Houston, you know, in some of the major cities of the world. And you drive around and say, whoa, what a place. Wonder what they do. Can you imagine these people when they come in? And I say, wow, look at this place. They tell me there's no night here. They tell me the sun don't even shine in here. You hear that? That's that water. They say it comes out from under the throne. And the people who live up here in the closest up to the top next to the throne, they say that water comes out from the throne and it trickles down in their backyards. And then it trickles down through the side and around their house and into the front yard and then falls down into the backyard of that other person. So like these steps, it just cascades. And then people come in and say, oh my Lord, what it must be like to go to church every day. For those of you who only don't need to go to church once every 3 or 4 weeks or once every now and then, you don't want to go to heaven because it's church every day. My, you talking about all these singers that's lived down through the age? You talking about all the saints of God and the person of Christ himself being revealed through eternity and all the songs? What do you figure it's going to be? It ain't going to be Walmart shopping. It's going to be church every day. Thank God. Why did you get that city? It's part of your will. You're his wife. What loving man would cut his wife out of his will of the house. Amen. To my wife, I give my home. Walls 216 feet tall. The angle of descent going up the city 30 degrees. Gates, gigantic pearls. Beautiful, beautiful amethyst and jacinths and all these carbuncle and all these stones that's already created. You know how a woman is about diamonds and stuff. This city ain't made for a man's taste. It looks like a jewelry box. Think of it. Think of it. It don't look like a Lowe's or a Home Depot tool shop. It looks like a woman's dressing room. Lights. And gold, and silver, and pearls, and gems. It looks like a woman's dressing room. Hallelujah. Don't you love him? Oh, Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father. How can we comprehend it? That the wisdom and purpose of God is filled up in the elect of God and the bride. The one cannot fathom it, yet we believe it, because the will says so. How can people be standing here tonight that in your sight is sinless and yet haunted by past memories of things they've done wrong? How can they in your sight be so justified that there is no condemnation, not one finger will appoint or accuse them at the day of judgment? Glory to God. And Paul anointed in such a way, he said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who will condemn her? No one can. For God justifies. You decreed Abraham was your servant. You never even asked him if he wanted to. You said, as for me, my covenant is with thee. I have called you. I have chosen you. You never said, what do you think about it, old boy? You only enter into a covenant with me? You just called him. He was ordained and he accepted it. I ain't going to argue with you, Lord. I ain't going to wrestle with you and say my will is so important. My will is what got me in so much trouble. Adam's will got him in a mess. God's sovereignty got him out. Abraham's will took him down to the land of Egypt. God's sovereignty brought him out. Isaac's will took him down to the land of the Philistine country. God's sovereignty got him out. My will and many of the wills of these peoples got them in the office mess that ever was. And the sovereignty of God helped get us out of it. If it wasn't for that, Lord, where would we be tonight? We worship you, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. Can we worship her, our King and our Lord and our lover? Look, children, if you're bride tonight, he's not just your Savior. He's your lover. He's your husband. Your King. Glory to God. He is your Redeemer. And you are his redeemed. He is your Boaz. And you are his Ruth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. We worship you, O living God. Thank you, Lord, for these things. It helps us so much to see the categories and the groups and how the things have been misapplied down through the church ages. Thank you for the truth, Lord. May each of us take our will and hear our name called. Oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. If there's a person here tonight that's not saved, one without the Holy Ghost, one that's living under condemnation of their past, may they be set free by the declaration of the will. Glory to God. We'll never be justified in our eyes. Lord, these that have lived unclean, maybe morality has eaten them up in their youth and they've done terrible things and it may bother them but help them to realize in their mind they may never be free. But where we're free is in the mind of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How can we be free from some of the things that we've done and said and thought? We have to attach our freedom to the death of the Lord Jesus and say, who can lay anything to my charge? It is God that justifies me. It is God that decrees me holy. It is God that says, I am sinless. Praise God. Let's worship him, saints. Harry, can we sing that in his sight? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brothers, can you put it up back there? In his sight, I am holy. In his sight, I am true. Listen to this again in the rapture. In the sight of God, the bride is justified. She never done it in the first place, standing there married to the virtuous Son of God. Never sinned in the first place. Why? She was foreordained. She was trapped into this. And now when she heard the truth and came forth, the blood cleansed her. She stands there virtuous. No sin on her at all. You believe it? Brother Terry believes it. Anybody else believe it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In his sight I am holy. In his sight I am true. It's the mystery of redemption. It included me and you. Yes, Lord. Me and you. I don't fully understand it. Oh, but I believe it's true that the holy blood of Jesus has created me brand new. Everybody, once again. Understand. tells you a story. Several years ago, one of the sisters in the communist bloc, and communism was still so strong in Europe, going to a message meeting. A police officer stopped her on the way to the meeting. Said, "Where are you going? You know, you got to give a report. Where are you going? How long are you going to stay?" Said, "Where are you going?" She said, "Well, my brother died, and I'm going to hear the will read." Well, that same cop was walking the streets when she come back after church. Said, "Well, what'd you find out? What'd he leave you?" She said, "Everything." Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your will includes salvation, redemption, deliverance, pardon, rapture, resurrection, healing, deliverance from the power of the world, the token life. Should I go on? It goes on and on and on. A foretaste of glory divine. A permanent residence. Hallelujah. In a gated community. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Carol's sister and her husband and children have come down to visit with us this weekend. One of her little girls, her daughters, wants to be baptized tonight. We'll ask them if they'll come and get ready for that. She's wanting me to baptize her, Brother Joel, if you'll come and lead them in some songs while we get ready for the baptism. Oh, I'm telling you what, you ought to have your chest stuck out. You ought to be walking around like you own this thing. Praise God. He didn't just give you salvation. He included redemption in your plan. Redemption, reconciliation, pardon. You got the whole package. You just didn't get liability. You got full coverage. Amen. And your premiums have been paid for life. And then after life is over, glory to God, it'll bring you out of the grave if you go by the way of the grave. Amen. God bless you, saints. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon, and my sins are washed. Said my life was fine without you. I was covering up the secret tears I cried. Then one day someone told me of your mercy, and on a hill called Calvary, there you died and purchased my salvation. When you broke sin's power, set my spirit free. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you care. Washed away.
Our little sister has quite a testimony of her life of what God's done for her. I won't go into all the details of it, but she's a miracle standing here tonight, physically in many ways. To be able to be healed physically is one thing, but to be able to be touched by the power of God and your soul be changed and to pull toward Him is even greater than natural divine healing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, this angel stands here in this water. Lord, we know that it's a symbol, water baptism. It's a symbol that we are laying aside the old man, rising in a new nature, a resurrection, a likeness. As you went down and came up, Heavenly Father, you can see and know her heart. Lord, I can baptize her in water, but only you can immerse her soul into the Holy Ghost, baptize her, O God, so seal her to the day of redemption that nothing could ever pull her away from it. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help her, guide her, Lord, keep her. Lord, you see what you've done for her, Father, when she was just a little baby, when her mama laid her in my arms. She screamed and cried and screamed and cried. But her mama said, I believe if we go to Johnson City and have Brother Donnie pray for her, God will heal her. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you did that very, very thing. We thank you for that, Lord. Now what a great thing it is, Lord, to take not a little child, but a young woman, and be able to baptize her in your name. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Confession of your faith, angel. Baptize this, our sister. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, I was alone in the darkness. I could not find my way. But Jesus shined the light on me. Turn on my night today. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. My sins are washed away. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. Not what I deserve, but saved by grace. And when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. Sing redemption's story of how He brought to the other side. And when I reach that city, the gates swing open wide. Gonna sing redemption's story. How He brought me to the other side. Saved by grace. I've been saved by grace. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Sins are washed away. was alone in the darkness, and I could not find my way. Jesus shined a light on me, he turned on the night to day. I've been saved by grace. Name is in the Lamb's book of life. Sins are washed away.